Well, we are coming this morning again to the I Ams, and this is the last of the I Ams in the Gospel of John. Next week, we're going to start the first of the two that are in the book of the Revelation. So it's unique that we look at this last one, which is the last one that Jesus given to us. And again, I start with the C.S. Lewis quote that I've had. I had the Muggeridge quote, the first four or five, and now the C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis was led to recognize that if God is God, he must be obeyed, not for the sake of reward, but simply because he is God. Lewis wrote, "If you ask why we should obey God, in the last resort, the answer is because God says who I am. I am. What is your need? That I am, because that is what I am." So we are in Jesus' Passover sermon from John 13, 34 to John 17. The reason it's always in red letters, John 14, 15, 16, and 17, is because Jesus is celebrating the Passover, and he is giving his sermon to them. And usually the sermon had to do something about God, what God had done. Jesus says it's about me. And two of the great I Ams are in this Passover sermon. We looked at the one last week, which is, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And this is now the second one we're going to look at this morning, this I Am. Again, I want to emphasize what I quoted here, or what Paul quoted in Ephesians 1. "God made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention, which he purposed in Christ, with a view to the administration suitable to the fullness of time," that is the summing up of all things in Christ. Now, you've heard me say this at every sermon, the summing up of all things in Christ, the summing up of all things in Christ. So let me try to get this into your mind before you look at this last I Am that Jesus gave to us. Because if you understand this last I Am, if you can comprehend in a fingernail what is this last I Am, you're a great man. You're a great man. Remember I told you that the first verse of the New Testament is about Jesus. The good news of Jesus the Christ, the son of Abraham, the son of David. The last verse, Revelation 22:21, is about Jesus Christ. "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." The first verse and the last verse of the New Testament is about Jesus Christ. One person said that the New Testament is the Old Testament concealed, and the Old Testament is the New Testament revealed. Well, if that's true, then the Old Testament is all about Jesus Christ too. Every verse in the Old Testament has to be about Jesus Christ too. Well, let's just look for a moment. Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." But John says, "I got some information for you. In the beginning was the Word, and all things came into being through him," Christ. "And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being." I've got news for you about Genesis 1:1. I'm telling you the rest of the story. "Abraham rejoiced to see my day." When Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, who appeared with him? Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets, the whole Old Testament. The whole Old Testament appeared to Christ, and they were talking to him about the things he would accomplish by his death. 341 prophecies, and Jesus says, "I came not to destroy the law, I came to fulfill the law." 341 prophecies. 613 commandments, and they were all found fulfilled and done in Jesus Christ our Lord. Melchizedek, every person in the Old Testament, Jesus is the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. The whole Bible is about Jesus Christ. You know why? The last I Am tells you this. The last words, in 24 hours, Jesus is going to be dead. He will have given up the ghost, his spirit. He will be returned to his Father. No more. No more. What is this last I Am? "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Six of the most incredible words ever uttered by a human tongue. Six of the most incredible words ever uttered by a human tongue. "Without me, you and you and you and you can do nothing." Nothing. Now, if you don't believe that, it's because you don't know what it means. Because Jesus says, heaven and earth is going to pass away. My words will never pass away. My friend, you can do nothing without Christ. Now, you may not realize it, but that doesn't change the reality of it. You get it? Hear what I just said? You may not realize it. You may think you're doing a lot of things without Christ, but you don't realize it. You don't know the truth. You don't know the truth. The truth is, without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. You can't breathe without me. You can't eat without me. You can't look without me. You can't get your mind to function without me, because it's all about me. The most unbelievable words. I actually believe these six words were probably the most unbelievable words ever uttered by Christ. Without me, you cannot do a thing. So, how you like to have that? As the last I am. Jesus saved the best for last. Wow. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Jesus probably wouldn't dare utter these words in the public. They would have killed him. Who do you think you are, just by lower things? But to say, without me, you can't do nothing. Well, I got to tell you, this is the easiest I am. In fact, I'm going to tell you again, I don't always say this. I didn't say this on all the other seven I ams. This is the greatest of the I ams. It's the most important, because it is the whole basis of spiritual life. In fact, Jesus is so careful when he said this I am, that for five verses he explains it, and he never explains the other ones. Do you know that? He doesn't explain about the bread. He talks about his body. He doesn't explain about the light of the world. But here he says, this is too important. I got to explain it to you. So let's look at the passage. John 15, 1. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. The minute Jesus says these words, every Jewish mind comes to Isaiah chapter 5. I can let you know that, because that's a Jewish mind thinking here. Every Jewish mind knows the ultimate picture about vines and about grapes and about caring for vines, which of course is a very big industry in the Middle East, of vines, has to do with Isaiah chapter 5. Let's look at Isaiah 5. Let me sing now for my well-beloved, a song of my beloved concerning his vineyard. My well-beloved had a vineyard and on a fertile hill. He dug it all around, removed its stones, and planted it with the choicest vine. He built a tower in the middle of it, and he hewn out a vine vat in it. Then he expected to produce good grapes, but it produced only worthless ones. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. Notice that Jesus is speaking about, God is speaking here, I should say this, about the vineyard, because he is the vine dresser. What is a vine dresser? The person that takes care of the vineyard. He prunes it, he waters it, he digs it. He does everything to make sure I'm taking care of my vineyard, and my vineyard's going to give me great fruit. But when he did all this work for it, and he did all this stuff, and there wasn't any fruit, what's going on here? What's the problem? What have I lacked at doing? Judge between me and me, the vine dresser, and my vineyard. Let's read on. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done for it? What more, God says, can I do? Why, when I expected it to produce good grapes, did it produce worthless ones? So now let me tell you what I'm going to do to my vineyard. I'm going to remove its hedges, and it will be consumed. I will break down its walls, and it will become trampled ground. I will lay it waste. It will not be pruned or hoed, but briars and thorns will come up. I will also charge the clouds to rain, no rain on it. So I'm just going to tear down everything that's protecting it. Everything. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, the men of Judah, his delightful plant. Thus he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed for righteousness, for behold, a cry of distress. Let me tell you something about the Jews. And I'm a Jew, and I can tell you. I've been asked many, many times, what was going on during the time of Jesus, during the time when the Jews were not obeying the Lord? They were continuing to do their, they're bringing their sacrifice, and in their heart they're trying to kill Jesus. You know that? And they plotted a way to kill Jesus. Imagine that, the priests. But they kept bringing their sacrifice. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, malei Avraham Elohei Yitzhak kelega, man nishama Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu anachad. Where was God? God left. Listen, And they didn't recognize it. Oh, my goodness. They went through all the forms. They did all the things and didn't even realize God wasn't around. Oh, my goodness. And when God finally was around, they tried to kill him. Oh, my goodness. Now, get this in the context. Without me, you can't do anything. Now, Jesus quotes this passage. This is the Old Testament. Let's look at the New Testament. And Jesus takes it a step further. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard and put a wall around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower. You know where he's quoting from? Isaiah 5. He's quoting the very passage that I just showed you, because every Jew knows that's the passage of the vineyard and the vine dresser. And Jesus says, my father's the vine dresser, I'm the vine. And he rented out the vine growers and went on a journey. When the harvest time approached, he sent his slaves to the vine growers to receive his produce. So here he rented out. He says, okay, now, you know, I've paid you. I've done this. Now bring me the fruit. Bring me the fruit that you have. The vine dresser took his slaves and beat one and killed another and stoned a third. Wow. They were rebelling against this. All the things he had done for them. They killed the slaves. They beat one. They killed another. They stoned a third. Again, he sent another group of slaves larger than the first, and they did the same to them. But afterwards, he sent his son to them, saying, they will respect my son. This is a picture about Jesus. He sent prophets. He sent prophets. He sent prophets. He sent Isaiah. He sent Jeremiah. He sent Ezekiel. He sent the minor prophets. And they didn't listen. They didn't listen. They didn't listen. They killed him. They killed him. They killed him. We will not have this man rule over us. Then they sent Jesus Christ. We'll have respect for my son. But when the vine growers saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance. And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine growers? So Jesus asked the questions, what's going to happen? And look what the Jews said. The Jews said to him, he will bring those wretches to a wretched end. I mean, what word? He's bring those wretches to a wretched end and will rent out the vineyard to another vine grower who will pay him the proceeds at a proper season. Jesus says, therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing the fruit of it. Oh, my goodness. And you know what happens? When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard this parable, they understood that he was speaking about them. So now you come to this statement, and Jesus is giving his last I am. I am, look, the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. I love the way Jesus says, I am the true vine. My friend, it's not about a system. It's not about a religion. It's about a person. And I got to emphasize it again and again and again and again. Whatever is your need, Jesus is that I am. It is not found in a book. It's not found in a sermon. It's not found in music. It's not found in a choir. It's not found in this or that. It's found in Jesus Christ. And until you find out that it's only found in Jesus Christ, you're going to save a lot of heartache and a lot of agony and a lot of wasted time. I am the true vine. Remember what Jesus says in John 8:31? If the Son shall make you free, you'll be free indeed. I'm going to really give you freedom. Freedom from sin, freedom to live, freedom of joy, freedom of happiness, freedom of righteousness. I'm going to give you freedom, free indeed. I am the true vine. My vine, listen to me, listen to me. My vine is the only one that will always have life and nourishment in it. My vine, I am the only one that will always, always have life and nourishment in it. Can I say again, everything that you need, that I am. All life flows through me. All life is in me because I am the true vine. Jesus says, don't get wrapped up with other vines. Don't get wrapped up with other vines. Think of all the philosophies out there. Think of all the man-made views out there. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. I'm not the way of death. I'm the way of life. I'm the true vine. Don't fill your life with other vines. Don't fill your life with the vine of money. Don't fill your life with the vine of insurance. Don't fill your life with anything except me, because eventually all that vine is going to dry up. In fact, any other vine except Jesus Christ is going to disappoint you. Pastor Sam's going to disappoint you. Grace Church is going to disappoint you. person at work's going to disappoint you. Your husband's going to disappoint you. Your wife's going to disappoint you. Your kids are going to disappoint you. Your parents are going to. I can guarantee it. I can guarantee it. All other vines will become a weed. All other vines will ultimately have an end, a dead end. It will choke you. You will die. Except Jesus Christ. I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser, the pruner, the digger, the feeder, the helper. He'll take care. He'll take care. He'll take care. Let's read on. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Now again, let me emphasize something very important here. This is so essential. This is so essential to understanding the Christian life that Jesus starts to explain it. You get it here? That's why he says these words, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, that's true. If you take the branch away from the vine and you cut it off, will it have fruit? No. Well, you know that lesson, right? Yes. Well, therefore, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. You have to abide in me. You have to abide in me. He doesn't let anybody interpret it. He doesn't let a person sermonize it about it. He doesn't let people talk about it. It is that I am going to explain it to you here and now, and so you understand. So what does it mean to abide in me? Abide in Christ. What does that mean? Well, Jesus answers these words. Jesus answers them, if you love me, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and we will make our home in him. There it is. If anyone keeps my word, my Father will love him. We will come to him. We will abide and abode in him. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, again, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My goodness, that's a fairy tale. That's a fairy tale. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. Read on. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So what is it? It is all about the word of Christ. Let the word of Christ dwell richly within you. You know, I've pastored for 30 years, and from the very beginning, I used to use a lot of verses. But if you really want to know the truth, over the last 30 years, I've grown from 20 verses to 50 verses, a sermon. And sometimes I know I read a lot of verses. I know that, and I go pretty fast, and I know it's not easy. But my friend, who cares a hoot what I think? You know why I use verses? Because I can't say it any better than the Bible. I can't say it any better. My words are going to pass away, but his words are not going to pass away. That's why I write down 50 verses of the Bible, and I want you to look at them, because that's what the word of God is. That's life. That's abiding in Christ. Forget about what other people think. Beware, my friend, of a preacher that uses two verses, three verses. Beware of a Bible study that uses one verse, two verse, three verse. Be wary of someone that's just giving you some nice information. But where is the word of Christ? The word of Christ! My words abide in you. Keep my commandments. You will abide in my love just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now, I did an interesting study. The study was, I went to my concordance, and I wanted to look up the word abide. Do you know the word abide is used 10 times in the epistles? Let me say this, outside of John. 10 times in all of the epistles. All the writings of Peter, all the writings of James, Jude, all the writings of Paul, it's only used 10 times. But one writer uses it 11 times in one book. In one book, it's used 11 times. You know who wrote that book? John. 1 John chapter 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. He uses the word abide 11 times, and everybody uses it almost never. I'm not saying that was a fault. There's a reason for it. Look at these words. Look at these words. By this we know that we come to know him if we keep his commandments. And the one who says, I have come to know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar. The truth is not. Whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. 1 John 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. The whole picture is obviously very clear. The words of Christ, the commandments of Christ. And then you abide in Christ. 1 Peter 2:24. As for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and in the Father. And what did you hear from the beginning? The words of Christ. 1 John 2:27. As for you, the anointing which you receive from Christ abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you, but his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie. And just as he has been taught, you abide in him. Now, I'm not saying you can't hear a sermon, you can't hear a study, you can't. But my friend, ultimately, if your Christ is the one that really teaches, if you really hunger for Christ, if you really abide in Christ, my friend, you're in him. You're in him. You're abiding in him. Your life is hid in Christ. You're in Christ. You're with Christ. Amazing words. Look at these words. He explained it. And why did John write 1 John? He wrote it to them because these were people who not saw the real Christ. They were not able to see him face to face and know him face to face. But let me tell you something. That doesn't matter. We can abide in him even though he's departed from us. I'll get to that in a moment. 1 John 15:4, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in me. So the ultimate end is that we have fruit. Fruit. And I'm going to call fruit in two ways, two things that we have fruit. Fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. My friend, if you're annoyed with somebody, you're not abiding in Christ. If you don't have enthusiasm for Christ, you're not abiding in Christ. If you don't have peace and you're worrying, you're not abiding in Christ. I know you'd like to. And you're going to run around to where can I find it? Love, unconditional love. Joy inexpressible and full of glory. Peace that passes all understanding. Oh my goodness. What are those? That's the Bible, what I just quoted. Gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And then I want to quote about the gifts of the Spirit. But now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There's a variety of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To other, the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith of the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by one same Spirit. Yes, yes, yes. If we abide in Christ, we can do works of Christ. We're able to serve Christ. We have ministries for Christ. We can teach, we can heal, we can do ministries. And to another, the effect of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing of spirits. To another, variety kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. But the one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. And if you abide in me, you're going to have a Spirit-filled life. Don't try to find the Spirit-filled life. I'll tell you where it is. It's in Christ. It's not even in the Holy Spirit. It's in Christ who has given us the Holy Spirit. My friend, this is not sensational Christianity. This is abiding Christianity. Hear what I just said? This is not sensationalism. This is something that lasts and endures. Look what Jesus said in these words. You did not choose me, but I chose you and anointed you, appointed you, that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain so that whatever you ask in the Father in my name, he may give it to you. My friend, you want to get excited about Jesus Christ. You have to abide in him. You'll be a pastor of enthusiasm. You won't look at the storms. You won't look at the winds. You won't look at the things. You look at Christ, and your life is in Christ and abiding in Christ and doing what's right in the eyes of Christ. Who cares what people think? You do what's right in the eyes of Christ. Now, sure you're accountable. Sure you have responsibility. Of course, of course. But you know you're following him, pleasing him, looking to him. The snare of the favor of man brings a snare. But the favor of Christ brings a smile. I just made. And then Jesus gives us the I am. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears, not might, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Again, how explicit can you get? He says, Grace Church, let me explain to you. Let me explain to you what we're talking about here. All that you need in your life, that I am. I will give this to you. I will furnish this to you. I will be the life-giving source to you. It will all come through me, the vine. Now remember, there's something very important that's happening here. The disciples are very upset. The disciples are unnerved. Jesus is going. One of them is going to betray him. He just told Peter, you're going to deny me three times. Remember, nothing has changed from chapter 14 to chapter 15. He's still telling them, bye-bye, good luck. No, he didn't say good luck. But take it, you know, I'm leaving. Look what Jesus says. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Now imagine why Jesus is saying this. Follow what I'm saying. You know, before when Jesus was on the earth, everybody could go to Jesus and ask him things. Jairus says, if I can ask him to heal my daughter, he'll do it. If I can just touch the tip of his garment, the woman with the issue of blood. If I could just go and meet him. I mean, people came to Christ. They could go to Jesus, son of David, have mercy upon me. What do you want me to do for you, Bartimaeus, that I would receive my sight? You couldn't do that anymore. You can't go to Jesus anymore. He's not staying at Peter's house. He's not staying at the hotel in Jerusalem. But this is what Jesus is saying. Nothing changes because of that. Even though I'm leaving, even though I'm going to my Father, our relationship does not have to change, even though I'm not here and physically in person with you. Wow. Wow. The same relationship we have, as if I was there, as if I'm seating. Remember what I told you when I play a concert? Jesus has never missed one of my concerts. Every time I give a concert, there's a person in the front row in the middle. And if I was playing when Jesus was alive and I was a follower of Jesus and Jesus wanted to come to my concert, he'd be sitting there, but he's not any different than sitting there in person or sitting there in person. There's no difference. Jesus is saying, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish. Well, how are we going to find you? Ask whatever you wish. Wow, what a comfort. What a relationship. Nothing is going to change. The dimensions may change, but the effect and the reality doesn't change. Hear what I just said? The dimensions may change, but the fact of the reality doesn't change. Look at these words again. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Read on. These things I've spoken to you that my joy may be in you. Joy, we're crying. How can we have joy? Listen. I am the vine. You are the branches. Abide in me. You're going to have joy. You can have peace. You can have comfort. You can have inexpressible presence. My presence. Can you imagine Jesus saying, these things I've spoken to you so that in my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Peter's crying. Judas is scared. The disciples are uncertain. And Jesus says, oh, my friend, I am the vine. I'm the vine. You're the branch. Nothing's going to change. The reality will not change. Our relationship is going to be different, but in reality, it's going to be the same. They could say, how could it be this way? You're not going to be on the earth. Abide in me. It will be as if I was there. I am with you because that I am. Whatever your need, I can be there. That I am. Can I show you the verse again in John? Oops. Oh, yes. For one moment, if I can. Look what John writes here. Now, again, John wrote this to people who had not seen Jesus. Notice what he says here. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we've seen with our eyes, what we had looked and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. Now, John's saying, listen, we saw Jesus, we heard Jesus, we touched him. Now, you didn't. But read on. The life was manifested. We've seen it. We testify and proclaim to you the eternal life which was and was manifested to us. And we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. You see the bridge that John does here? We saw Christ. We heard Christ. But our fellowship is one with another. And our fellowship is now, even though you did not see him, you did not touch him, you did not hear them. But our fellowship is still the same thing because our fellowship is now with Christ in a different dimension, but the same reality. Read on, read on. These things we write that our joy may be complete. This is a man who learned about abiding in Christ after Christ was gone. That's why he uses the word 11 times in his one little book. His one little book. Let me go back again to John 15. I am the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, Paul never, if I could say this, he never heard the living Christ. I know he heard the voice of Christ. I know he was in Arabia for 3 years and Christ ministered him. I know all this. But look how Christ, look how Paul takes the flip side of this verse. Without me, you can do nothing. Look what Paul does. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's Paul taking the pancake and says, if that's true, without you, I can do nothing. Well, then with you, I can do everything. Wow, this guy knows about abiding in Christ. That's it. That's how you can have serving Christ, knowing Christ, living for Christ, knowing that I can't do anything without Christ, but I can do everything with Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then let me go back for a moment about the other fruit. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. You know what fruit is? You're the fruit of Jesus. You are here as the fruit of Jesus Christ. And you are also, in a sense, the fruit of Jesus when you now become ambassadors for Christ and you lead other people to Christ. God wants you to be a light and a witness on his behalf to reach other people for Christ and to lead other people for Christ. He doesn't want you to be a closet Christian. He doesn't want you to be a Christian just on your 462 North Kylie Largo. He wants you to be a light. He wants you to spread the word, the gospel. He wants you to know about missions, go into all the world. He wants you to see the world through the eyes of Christ. Some people think, well, what is this fruit? Well, it's spiritual fruit. It's evangelistic fruit. Thank God, evangelist, thank God that somebody was interested in me. I was lost going to hell. Thank God Keith Gates didn't give up on me when I yelled at him. Don't give up on people. Don't stop praying for people. God wants you to have evangelistic fruit. Well, I just love. That's a cop out. No, God wants you to have fruit. The fruit of spiritual life and the fruit of his life brought to others. Evangelistic fruit. So three things I want to say as we conclude looking at this. In the verse itself, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, I told you once the example. I always say this. Jesus gave me the ears to hear the music, the fingers to play the music, the mind to learn the music. And I tell people, you know, you're a great violinist. Jesus gave you the ears to play the music. God, Jesus gave you the ears to hear the music. Jesus gave you the mind to learn the music. The difference between you and me is that you don't know this yet. And my friend, this is Jesus' last words. I'm going to stand up here and tell you, listen. Listen. Don't laugh. I'm just listening. Your maturity in Christ is going to be measured by how clearly you realize that you can only do anything through Christ. Amen. Listen to what I just said. Your maturity. If you think you're doing a lot of things and Christ is involved, you haven't grown enough yet. Your maturity is going to realize that I cannot do a thing without Christ. Because Jesus is the reality of it is, without me, you can't do nothing. Nothing. Not some things. Nothing. And I'm going to repeat it again. Listen to what I'm saying. Spiritual maturity will come to the degree that this becomes your consciousness. This becomes your consciousness. This is the reality. This is the reality. Listen, in Him we live and move and have our being. Paul said that. In Him we live and move and have our being. Second thing, pruning. A lot of this is written about this in this passage. Every branch of me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bear fruit, He prunes it so that He may bear forth much fruit. What is pruning? You know what pruning is? Pruning is what God's trying to take away of what you're trying to do without Christ. Listen to what I just said. Pruning is for you to realize that God is showing you, I'm trying to do this without Christ, or not for Christ, or with Christ. And God says, you know, that's pretty dead. That's why I'm pruning you. Because you can only do anything through my Son. And without Him, you can do nothing. So I got to prune what's going to be dead so that you can have more. And boy, I want you to have more. And man, if God is for you, who can be against you? Wow. 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 You want to see about pruning? Very quickly. The Jews were cut off. God pruned the Jews. And if some of the branches were broken off and you being a wild olive were grafted in among them and became partakers of them, of the rich root of the olive tree, let's read on. And you will say, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. I mean, this is serious pruning. Behold, then the kindness and severity of God to those who fell severity, but to you, God's kindness, if you continue in His kindness, otherwise you will also be cut off. And my friend, this is my point. You may feel like sometimes God is pruning you to death. You know what's my favorite selling CD? The French CD. I always say, you listen to the French CD and all the stress goes out of you. Everybody wants it. Everybody wants it. Where's that CD where I get rid of all my stress? Where is it? You may think you're being pruned to death. I'll never forget when we lived in Erie, Pennsylvania, we had one grapevine. And Dave Snow, who was a vineyard, he had a vine. He had a grape farm. He came and I said, would you trim my grapes? They're all overgrown, everything. And I went out to do some church where I came back. I thought he killed it. He killed it. There were these little nubs, these little. I said, my goodness, where is it? Did you see what George Visser did to the Mexican bird of paradise up here? This bird of paradise, you could hardly see the Grace Church. And one day I walked in and it was four little branches in the bottom. I thought, he killed it. George, what have you done? But listen to these words. Listen to these words. Abide in me and I in you. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself. My friend, listen. My friend, listen. The fruit is not up to you. The fruit is up to the vine. The fruit of the vine is the branch, and the fruit of the branch is the fruit. Don't try to bring forth fruit. Just be in Christ. And in Christ, you'll have fruit. That was the problem with my Christian life. I was not the Christian I ought to be. I'm not the husband I ought to be. I'm not the father I ought to be. And then I realized if I just follow Christ, I will be the husband I ought to be. I will be the Christian I ought to be. My prayer will be what it ought to be. And it changed my whole life. April 1st, 1977, I became a man of enthusiasm for Christ. Notice the words again. Let me emphasize this. It's not up to you. The branches are the fruit of the vine. And the branches bring forth fruit because it's in the vine. The branch cannot bear fruit. End of sentence. But it bears fruit because it abides in the vine. The fruit of the vine is the branch. The fruit of the branch is the fruit. My friend, when God is pruning you, keep saying these words, abide, 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 abide in Christ, abide in Christ. Do what's right in the sight of Christ. Live for Christ. Follow Christ. And then the last words are these, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. How many times does Jesus use the word me here? Twice. Isn't that something? Look at all the others. Look at this. I am the light of the world, he who follows me, one me. I am the bread of life, he who comes to me, one me. I am the good shepherd, I know my own, and my own know me, one me. I am the door, if anyone enters through me, one me. I am the resurrection of life, he who believes in me, one me. I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me, one me. The last I am, The last I am. This is John 15:5. Let me go back again. I made a mistake there with Mel that I gave it to him wrong. Look at this again. Look at this. I am the vine. Just a minute. I know I passed it. Just be patient. No one's more nervous than you, than me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you abide in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, two me's, the last I am, Jesus will be gone in 24 hours. This is it. This is it. This is the end. But this is the beginning. This is only the beginning. Wow. I mean, this is mind-boggling, brothers and sisters. This is staggering. This is staggering. This makes me want to live 100 years for Christ. Makes you want to live 100 years for Christ. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, what can we say in what you've given to us in the gift of your Son? We are humbled. We are speechless. And so, Father, we come to you this morning. May we abide in him. He wants us to abide in him. May we bear forth much fruit. He wants us to bear much fruit. Without him, we can do nothing. Father, I know I speak for myself and many others this morning. We do not want to do anything without Christ. We do not want to do anything without Christ. Father, bless your people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit until Jesus comes again, as he surely will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good to have you. Please greet one another in his love. You are dismissed.